What does God want for you? What does God want for you? This is the title and theme of the preaching series for this Lent. And Father Jim gave us a great introduction, didn't he, last week, with his message on what God wants for us. And the foundation of that, as Father Jim said, is relationship. The fact that Jesus wants to invite us into a relationship with God. And we know that the Trinity is a community of persons that we are invited into. And then Father Jim did also a great job of expressing the fact that this relationship changes all aspects of our lives. That through this relationship we are sent out to love, to serve, and especially in a most special way to share the love of Jesus with everyone, to preach the gospel. But as I was thinking about it and reflecting on it for this week, I thought, what does this relationship look like? It's wonderful to say we have a relationship with Jesus, a relationship with God, but what does it look like? I think we had a wonderful picture and image of that relationship at our Thursday event, the You're Amazing event. Out of show of hands, how many people here were able to attend the event? Show of hands. We got a couple here. Well, I want to kind of drop you in the middle of what happened on that Thursday night. So the missionaries came out and they had their big teleprompter right there in the pack, and you know, it was kind of fun. This was the first event we had in the pack. And they had this big screen, and they got all of our youth riled up. So we had over 500 people there, our confirmandi, their parents, a lot of our youth group kids, many people from the parish. And they got all the kids riled up. They were doing different games. One of our young men in the parish almost got hit in the head at least 6 times with a football. It was great. It was fantastic. They got them all riled up. And then the main speaker, Justin Fatica, came out of the back. And he started preaching. And I didn't even know that we had this charism anymore in the church of like an itinerant preacher who gets out there and just preaches the gospel. And Justin gets out there and he begins his message by saying that we have to be real. We have to be authentic. And at the foundation of that realism and that being authentic is the fact that we each suffer. We each bear some kind of burden in our lives. Isn't that true? I mean, isn't that true that we all have something that weighs on us? And he spoke specifically to the young people in the room, but to everyone. To everyone. And he named things. He was explicit about it. He said, don't some of us deal with depression? Don't some of us deal with despair? Some of us deal with eating disorders. Some may deal with having just lost someone they care about deeply. Perhaps someone in the room has been abandoned. They've lost some love or have never really received that love and feel so alone in the world. And that's where Justin kind of centered his message. The fact that amongst all of these issues, we all deal with so many. So the number one issue we deal with, especially here in the United States, is loneliness. We all, to some degree, many of us, if not most of us, deal with loneliness. And especially to the young people up there. But then Justin kept weaving in over and over again. In the midst of this realism, and this realism of the cross, we also recognize that Jesus loves us. And to him, we are amazing. And that we are loved and he wants to support us. He wants to carry our burdens with us. Now, if Justin had stopped there, I would have been like, that is amazing. That is awesome. That is an amazing message. But he made everyone in the room feel super uncomfortable. And he started to say, how many of you have recently had something profoundly difficult happen to you? A profound suffering come into your life. And he had people raise their hands. Again, uncomfortable. And he said, and he called on this young woman who was right in the front. She raised her hand. She literally had been on her phone most of the evening, even with all the games and kind of hoopla happening. He said, what's your name? She said, my name is Sam. She said, and this is what made everyone feel uncomfortable, and I don't even know what Sam was feeling like at that point. She said, Sam, why don't you come up here? Come up to the front. She said, and he looked at her, Justin looked at her and said, Sam, have you had something happen to you recently that has weighed on you? that has burdened you? And she said, yes, I have. And he looked at her with love in his eye and said, you are amazing. And God loves you and I love you. And he gave her a big hug. It was beautiful. It was stunning. It was beautiful. But then Justin said, all right, there are some of you out there that raise your hands along with Sam. And I issue you a challenge. How many of you have the courage to come up here to Sam? How many of you who have just suffered something, courage to come up here to Sam and say, you're amazing. Give her a high five and a hug. To say to her, she is not alone in her suffering. She is not alone in what she's going through. That we are together in our pain, in the cross. And at that point, the ripple went out in the crowd. And you wonder, I wondered, is anyone going to come up? Is anyone going to take up that challenge? I'm going to leave Sam and Justin standing there on the stage and turn to our gospel reading. So in our gospel, we have three figures who are going through something similar. Peter, James, and John. Now Peter, James, and John are invited by Jesus to go up Mount Tabor, this great mountain in Israel. And there he is transfigured before them. He shows his glory. Why does he do this? Well, if you'll notice, the transfiguration is the pivot point in the gospel, where Jesus turns his face toward the cross, turns his face toward Jerusalem. And his message starts to get very intense. He tells his disciples over and over again, the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem to suffer greatly and die. And he tells his disciples, he tells each one of us, if you would follow me, if you would be my disciple, you must take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Jesus knows us. He created us. He knows that that message is intense and hard, and we do not want to hear it sometimes. So he gives especially the leaders of the apostles, the event of the transfiguration. Leads them up this mountain, shows them his glory, and he says to them, in the midst of my suffering, the suffering that will take place upon the wood of the cross, he is still God. And that the cross is not the end. Pain and suffering and sin and the weight of the world is not the end, but rather the glory of God and the joy of God is what happens when we allow Jesus to carry our burdens. Jesus is giving reassurance to his apostles that his cross is not the end and that he will be with them always to carry their crosses, that they are never alone, that he will always be there to encourage them and lift them up in an extremely powerful way. And as the disciples, Peter, James, and John, descend that mountain, they don't fully understand yet what the transfiguration means. But they do know, in the future, something is going to happen, something painful and sorrowful, a cross, a suffering they'll have to bear. But they know that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is with them always, and there to lift them up. And they can return to that memory of the transfiguration to give them encouragement and reassurance in the time of suffering. Let's return to Justin and Sam standing up there alone in front of the stage. Justin issues a challenge. Is anyone here who has just suffered something traumatic, some great suffering, something that weighs on you and burdens you right now? Is anyone willing to have the courage to come up here and tell Sam that she is not alone, that she is amazing and she is loved by God? A ripple goes out in the crowd. I tell you, not just 5 people came up, not 10, but if Sam was standing right here where I am today, the line would have gone out the door, into the gathering space, and out into the parking lot. People came up in droves. It was stunning. It was so moving. She had tears running down her face, and she knew that she was loved, and the love of God was being expressed by her community. This is when Justin said, "Do you know why we come to church? We come to church to know that someone is always praying for us, that someone is always there to love us, and the expression of Jesus Christ is expressed through his body, through us." This is why we come to church. It was beautiful and profound. Very moving, very moving. Let's be real today. Let's be real and say that each of us has something that we struggle with, some burden that weighs upon us, and that we need to surrender it to Jesus Christ and ask for His help. We can't do it on our own, and that is reality. We need to put it on His shoulders and ask Him to carry our crosses with us. It may not make it better, in a sense of like making that cross easier to carry, but doesn't it make it better in the sense that we know that we are never alone? That we are there with our brothers and sisters in Christ and with Jesus Christ Himself, and He bears our burdens with us. And if we're going to be real, I'll be real first. I'll be the first to say I deal with things every day. I deal with my own struggles and things that weigh down me. I deal with loneliness sometimes, and it's hard. And I ask for your prayers. And I promise to pray for you, and I do every single day. Let's pray for each other, my friends. Pray for one another, that we would come to church and receive the love and grace of Jesus Christ and bear our burdens together. So how are we to take this message forward into the world? How are we supposed to do this week, but also into Lent and beyond? Well, I have a suggestion for us. For those of you who went to the Young or the Your Amazing event, I want you to reflect on that memory. That is a powerful experience of the Lord, extremely powerful. I want you to reflect on it over and over again, your prayers. Dwell on that memory. Ask the Lord, Lord, show me different insights into this time, this encounter with you. And I want you to dig, if you will, a well of grace. That one day, when you're dealing with something difficult, it could be today, it could be years from now, but you would go back to that memory in your mind and your heart and be able to receive that living water and that encouragement, that reassurance. That becomes your transfiguration moment. For those of you who perhaps weren't able to go to the event, or perhaps those of you who went to the event and said, that's not for me, that's just not the way I encounter the Lord. That's okay. That's okay. I want you to go into your memory, into your life, and ask the Lord to reveal to you your transfiguration moment, that moment when He encouraged you, reassured you that He would get you through something. He'll get you through anything in life. Dig a well of grace there that you would be able to drink from it deeply. That is your transfiguration moment. For perhaps for those of us who cannot find such a moment, and we rack our brains and ask the Lord, I can't even think of a time that the Lord has helped me through something. I can't do it. Do not be afraid. Do not worry. I would go to the Lord and beg Him to give you experience now, because He does. I guarantee you He'll give you experience now of the way He is helping you. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. The Lord is with us always. And we have to have those transfiguration moments to remind us and reassure us that the Lord is always with us. The night ended, the Your Amazing Night ended, with the missionaries bringing out an image of the cross, an image of our Lord on the cross. And I dare say most of the people in that room came up, especially the young people, knelt down before the cross and surrendered in their minds and hearts their burdens to the Lord and said, Lord, I surrender my cross to you and I am asking you to carry me. I am asking you to carry me. We need to do the same. Notice how the line of people coming up to greet Sam is just like our communion line. That we approach this altar and lift up our burdens to the Lord and say, carry me. I need you. I want you to be in my life. If we're going to answer the question, what does God want for you, for me? The answer is a relationship of love wherein Jesus tells us, I will lift you up. I am with you always to the end of the age. I am with you to carry your burdens, to carry you in the midst of any of life's sufferings, in the midst of anything that may bring you down, depress you, and oppress you. He says to each one of us, every single day of our lives, I love you, and you are amazing to me.